Do you want to be better in business or life? Do you want to be able to execute and succeed? You must have a positive mindset. You must believe and stay focused. Do you know what it takes? It takes fuel. Welcome to Fuel Your Drive. Welcome, everyone, to Fuel Your Drive. And today, let me tell you, we have a very, very special guest. I'm super, super excited about this, and I'm going to tell you why. Why? Because the guest today, he speaks my language. He's a beast, and I say that in the most respectful way possible, but he gets it. He knows what it takes to be successful. He's written 5 books, including an amazing one called The Perfect Day Formula, How to Own a Day and Control Your Life. He sold over 35 copies of this book, and honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. The reason I'm having this guy on our show today is because he's a complete badass. Welcome to the show, my man, Craig Ballantyne. Craig, welcome to the show, my brother.
Hey, thank you so much, Mr. York. This is going to be amazing. I'm going to try and match your energy, but that's not natural to me. I am from Canada, after all.
Listen, I got Canadian blood in me. I'm a hockey player, man.
I live and breathe
hockey. I've been playing since I'm 4 years old. I haven't played now in 3 months because it is entire thing that's going on, and I'm losing my mind.
It's the greatest game, man.
Best game on earth. If I wasn't an entrepreneur and I wasn't running this business, I'd be a professional hockey player. I played prep hockey. I've been playing forever, man. I love it.
Well, you got probably more money and you got all your teeth. So
I do. And I got great teeth, and I just whitened them too. You like that? Look at that. All right. Well, anyway, listen, let's get pumping. Look, I love what you're about, man. I've been doing some research, and I only bring the best on my show. So I hope you take it as a compliment, because I got the best and the best. And to follow up the last episode, which was even great, this is going to be even better. I just feel it and I know it. Let's just start off on the way you see things, because you see things the way I see things. Now, I know you're around a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of people who are struggling might have challenges, you know, like, really, like, give your overview first, a little bit of background on yourself, and a little overview of what you see as a problem, because I'm sure you get messages like I do all the time. I want help. I want this. I always use an example. I've spoken at many events. I've probably had hundreds and hundreds, Craig, of people have come up to me and asked me if I'd help them or mentor them, and I always say yes. But to this day, you know how many people have actually reached out to me? Zero. Zero. Why? Because, as I like to say, TA, people don't know how to take action. Yep. So with that said, talk a little bit about your background, give everyone the down low, and let's kind of dive into this.
Yeah, I'm like you. I find that there's two types of people in this world. We'll circle around to those types of people in a second. But I'm like you. You know, I love the game of hockey. I'm a farm boy. I grew up in Canada, working hard, and you know, that's what really has driven a lot of the perceptions and the, you know, way that I see the world, the worldview. And I saw my parents work really hard. And then I thought, you know, I realized quickly that I was not going to be a pro hockey player. But I thought, I want to be in the game, you know. I want to be in the game somehow. So when I was finishing high school, my goal was to be a strength and conditioning coach in the National Hockey League, of all things, right, all things. And I went on the path, and I kept on, you know, looking who's doing what to get into the pros. And so I saw they got a master's degree. Okay, I'll finish my master's degree. So I did that. And at the time, right around the final year, I started my own email newsletter. This back in 1999, you know, not knowing what to do. But I started it. And then I realized I'm a bit of a nerd. You know, I'm a little bit different than you. You got way more outgoing energy. I'm a little bit, I'll sit behind the computer all day long and you know, write about workouts and give them to people and get their feedback. But I started writing a newsletter because I realized I didn't want to be in the training room that much. And then I sent one off to Men's Health magazine, and they published it in the magazine. The next thing you know, like, I wrote for them for nearly 17 years, and that gave me the critical credibility to allow me to build my online fitness program that I was able to kind of build around my lifestyle a little bit more, where, you know, I'm an introverted type of guy. I can't be in the room, in the training room, pumping the guys up all the time, just drive, you know, drags me down, takes the energy out of me. So I did that, and then I built Turbulence Training into, you know, kind of a big thing in the fitness world, and retired from that. And now I coach small business owners, you know, companies that are doing $500,000 to $20 million a year in all types of industries. And I see all types of people. And that brings us back to the two types, which are Sometimes I describe them as reactive people versus proactive people. You know, it all comes down to taking action. You know, the reactive person takes action in response to something, whereas the proactive person takes control of the world, control of their time, control of the future, and does stuff in advance, just like you do. And then I also think, you know, going back to what you found at all those events, I actually did a TikTok video on this yesterday. I said there's two types of people in this world. There's a type of person who will go and watch my free content on YouTube and read it on my email and Instagram and all this stuff, and they'll actually get results, and they'll send me a message. Hey, I listened to your podcast with you and Bedros, and I got some guy from India yesterday. He said, I listened to you and Bedros, and I went and did exactly what you said in one episode, and I made, you know, 10,000 of whatever, you know, the currency is there. I was like, man, that's impressive. You know, he didn't spend any money on us. He just went and did because we gave so much content. And then you get people who, you know, it's a $99 product and you get 400 questions from them. And you're like, this, you know, oh, how will it help me do this? I want you to reply. And then you'd be like, well, what about this? And you'd be like, oh yeah, it'll help you with this, that. And like, what, you know, like, what are the payment plans? So like, you go to the website and just like figure this stuff out. But at the end of the day, they don't buy, they don't take action. Yep. And they're on to considering the next thing, the overthinkers. And so at the end of the day, TAs that rule the world.
100%,
man. Big actioners.
100%. You know, look, I don't ever want to come across insensitive talking about this, because obviously, it, you know, definitely is an issue here. But, you know, you talk about the whole virus that's happening right now, the whole pandemic. And, you know, thankfully, we're coming to kind of see the light now where it's getting towards the end of this. But, you know, look, I always tell people, you know, take a little Post-it and go over your watch and write N-O-W now, because the time is always now. You always gotta take action now, and there's always opportunity. So, you know, I hear a lot of people crying during this whole thing and finding every excuse why, you know, why it's not going to work, or, you know, who's going to be the president's going to affect how successful I am, or if the economy's down. Like, so, and I know what you're going to say already, but I want the people to hear it, because this drives me crazy. Like, I can't handle it. It makes me absolutely crazy, because that doesn't change my level of success. I'm going to continue to be successful. But what are your thoughts on this?
Listen, I was just talking to my girlfriend, Michelle, about this wall calendar that one of my clients has. And it's an app, and it shows you how many weeks you have lived and your life expectancy. And then it shows like your life expectancy and how many weeks you have left. And I looked at, you know, my age, and like my heart skipped a beat. I was like, dang, there's, you know, it's like it grays out how many weeks you have lived, and white is how many weeks you have left. And this is, of course, just a life expectancy calculator, but it really, really shocks you.
I'm sure.
You go, holy cow, if I don't do it now, when am I going to do it? So I love urgency and speed. I believe that attracts success into the world. And at the end of the day, you just got to get off the fence, take the action. And if it's wrong, correct course as quickly as possible. It's much like when somebody's in the gym as a fitness expert and somebody, you know, a client comes in and says, oh man, this weekend was so bad with the diet. And you go, okay, well, I mean, it's not the weekend anymore. So, you know, you don't have a cookie in your mouth right now. So let's get down to work. Let's do some work and let's send you home with a better plan. And let's figure out the next time you're in that situation, how you can win the day. Because it's easy, you know, Josh, I think that you'll recognize this as well, is that it's easy for us to give advice to other people. And for the gym owner listening or anybody listening, it's easy for us to tell people like, oh, you know, I'm a fit person and you just need to be regular with your workouts. And, you know, if something bad happens, forget about it. But they're the same type of person who owns the gym, and like, they get a refund and it crushes them for the day. And it's like, hey, you got a refund, like, let it go, get over it and get back to work. Like, you can't let that paralyze you. And so they just need to see the parallels between the two.
100%. I always tell people I got a neck problem. I don't look backwards. I only look this way. That's it. You know, like,
I love
it. You're going to have problems. You're going to have, look, life has seasons. And at the end of the day, some of those seasons, you know, winter is not like summer, you know, and winter could be brutal. But if you don't adapt, and if you don't pivot, and if you don't just make things happen, you're never going to do it. But, you know, then I hear the people who just say, well, Josh, I'm just not like you. I just can't be like you. Now, would you agree that, you know, people like us, other people can't be like us? Because I don't agree with that. I disagree that, you know, just like if you have to, you know, if I told you, hey, Craig, you're going to have a six pack in 2 weeks, you're going to look at me and be like, you're crazy. It takes hard work. It takes time. People don't understand that. But I believe, just like, you know, and I know you touch on this a lot, I used to suffer from anxiety like crazy, man, back in the day. And I have actually trained myself, like, through all the pain and scars I've been through in business, I have trained myself to become numb to the feeling. Like, it doesn't even bother me. Like, I'm talking like 6 months ago, I had the craziest lawsuit against me, crazy. And I ended up winning it. But like, when I got served, people in my office were looking at me because I was still smiling, and they're like, "You just got served with a lawsuit." I said, "Yeah, and so what? Whatever." Like,
there's another fight for you to win.
Yeah, I look at business. I look at business as like an arcade game. So, I was with Gary Vee. I went on his podcast like a couple months ago.
Oh, cool.
And he loved this because I said, "You remember Mario Brothers?" I was like, "Den den 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 den," you know. And he's like, "Yeah." It's like, this is what's great about entrepreneurship. You know how sometimes in a video game, and I'm not a big video game guy, but like as a kid, I played.
Right, everybody knew Mario Brothers.
Yeah, exactly. But you know how like you would die, but if you passed a certain point of the level, you didn't have to start from the beginning. You get to start from that point.
Oh yeah.
That's just like entrepreneurship, but at the end of the day, you always get a second opportunity because you live to see another day. But like, do you think people who are not like us can become like us?
Yes, they can. They can. And so, you know, if we go back all the way to the start of this interview and I said, you know, I'm not like you, I can't be in the gym. That is my natural tendency, but it is a lie in the long run because, you know, 5 years ago, maybe a little bit more than that, if you had me on your podcast, I would be low energy. I would not be great at it. But I've done 400 podcast interviews in the last 3 years, promoting my book, talking about overcoming anxiety, all the stuff that I've gone through as well. And I learned how to be better. Everything is a learnable skill. Everything. So if you say, "Oh, I can't write emails," or "I can't do video," and I hear all this this all the time because one of my courses is about becoming better at video. And people say, "Oh, I can't do video. I hate doing video. I can't talk into my phone." Well, yeah, you can't right now, but you can get better at it. So is this mindset of, you know, bouncing back learnable? 100%. Is the mindset of taking action learnable? Yes. Now, you may never become as good as Josh York at dealing with anxiety or, you know, laughing off a lawsuit or whatever it is, but you can be better than you are today. It's just like when somebody says, in the gym, they're never going to be able to bench press 315 or something. Like, okay, maybe you never bench press that, but you can get stronger tomorrow or, you know, next month than you are today. You can always improve. You can never accept the status quo. You can never accept the cards that you were dealt with. You just got to play a different hand.
Yep, 100%. I like to always say practice makes permanence. And at the end of the day, to perfect your craft, you have to constantly sharpen your tools every day. Like my man Will Smith says, you got to build a wall brick by brick by brick every single day. And, you know, it's going to get larger and larger. And eventually you're going to have this huge wall. But during building that wall might fall down because, you know, sometimes you might not put enough strong enough cement in it. And that's okay too, but you have to continue.
And I think there's something very important about the practice makes permanence quote that you just shared, because it's not just the physical action. Like when people say practice, they think of, you know, going and doing a martial art, or they think of, you know, rehearsing a speech. But no, the practice is the thoughts running through your head. And I know that you probably have a ton of information on this. But if you sit there and say, "I can't do this, I can't do that, I'm no good at this," well, that's practicing, and that's going to leave a permanent imprint on your mind about what you believe you can do. So, yeah, I mean, even I sometimes will say, "Oh, I can't do that." But, you know, I unfortunately am surrounded with people who will correct me because they will say, you wouldn't let anybody else say that. So, well, I'm not letting you say that. And then I'm like, "Here, you know, you're right. Let me go and try and get better at this."
Yeah, and that's actually a really smart thing you said, because look, even I have those thoughts that pop in my head, you know, like everyone has those thoughts that pop in your head. It's how you manage those thoughts and where those thoughts go. Now, I'm also big on a part of the brain called the reticular activating system, where all the information gets stored in your brain. And that part of your brain is really what you program it, is what you believe. And if you believe you suck, if you believe you're not good at it, you're never going to be good. Like, honestly, people who are listening right now, and I know my listeners are going to love this, but do you want to wake up every day and tell yourself you're an absolute loser? Tell yourself every day you're a loser. Like, does that sound good? Like, do you want to really tell yourself that? No. And what Craig's saying is really true, but look what he said, which was very smart. He surrounds himself with great people. Okay? You know, you'll hear this saying all the time, show me your friends, I show you your future, right? If you don't hang around with people who are better than you, smarter than you, or add more value, you're never going anywhere. And that's extremely important, you know? But so let's talk about, you know, a time in your life, you know, because obviously, you know, you didn't get to where you are, you know, by just overnight. You know, you put a lot of work in. Going on 400 podcasts is magnificent. You know, having a best-selling book, you know, you've had some major accomplishments. And I know you're a humble guy, but, you know, I have a lot of respect and admire, obviously, everything you've done. That's why you're on the podcast today. But, you know, tell me a time where it was tough for you. Because, you know, people always think it's just, you know, easy for everyone. And they just look and say, my God, look at Craig. This website's magnificent. The guy's a stud. Yeah. He's got all this great stuff going on. Like, but it was not like that at one point. So why don't you touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, the hardest part for me was 2006. So I'm about 30 years old. I had fortunately built my online business up to a point where I didn't have to be a personal trainer anymore because, you know, you go back to that belief that I had that I was an introverted type person, didn't love having the energy in the gym, could do it, but was wiped out by it. And so I was able to finally make the switch. And so I had everything going for me. I was in the best shape of my life. I was, you know, making great money with an online business. And that's when I had these anxiety attacks because I was working too much and partying too much. And I kept all my thoughts in my head. I didn't, you know, talk stuff out. And it just all bottled up. And so I had an anxiety attack. One lasted 6 weeks long. You know, it's just like, it felt like I was having a heart attack 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for six weeks. And it was just tingling from the top of my head down to the end of my fingertips, elevated heart rate, tight chest, couldn't breathe, couldn't concentrate. You know, I'd go to the gym, but, you know, you wouldn't want to do a hard workout because you're like, oh man, maybe I'm already on close to death. I don't want to do a hard workout. But even if you try to do a hard workout, you couldn't concentrate. And it was really rough. And so over those 6 weeks, I tried everything. I tried Qigong. I tried yoga, meditation, Tai Chi. I did a session of that. And I didn't like any of them, but they gave me some tools. And then I also was talking to people, and I ended up going to the emergency room another time near the end. And that's when they gave me a heart rate monitor. And when I took it back and they said, okay, well, we looked at the numbers and there's nothing wrong with you. That knowing that there was nothing physically wrong with me was it was like a switch. All of a sudden I went, oh, okay. So it's all really within my control. And I just need to, you know, live smarter, you know, do this type of breathing, try a whole bunch of stuff. And then now I'm like you, you could give me the most stress in the world and I wouldn't go into an anxiety attack that a lot of people have. And, you know, these days, I mean, I get messages from people in the emergency room at 2 o'clock in the morning saying, oh my God, I heard your story. Now I know what you feel like. Cause it, you know, I woke up and it felt like there was a refrigerator on my chest. And a lot of times it's the gym owner or the small business owner who is up against everything, has no one to talk to, and has let, you know, one problem become another problem, because they have no one to talk to. They've never gone to a coach. They've never asked for help. You know, if somebody calls in sick, they do the work of two people and they put everything on their shoulders and they suffer in silence. And all of a sudden it's like, if you push down, like if you push a spring down as far as you can, it explodes up higher than if you just pushed it down a little bit. And that's what happens with the anxiety. And that's what happened to me. And I was fortunate to claw my way out of it. It was a rough, the entire period was 6 months, but at the end of it was a 6 week never stopping anxiety attack that I was finally able to break free from.
Well, I'm very happy you broke through that. And, you know, I'm a big believer, pain equals growth. Whatever you want to, whatever you want to get to in life in general, if you want to get somewhere you want to be, it's going to be painful.
And that's what Arnold said in Pumping Iron, right?
It's very true, man. It's very true. And that's why they always say entrepreneurship, it's living a couple of years of your life like most people won't. So you can live the rest of your life like most people can't. And if you're not willing to go through pain and sacrifice, and look, I'm not saying there's anything wrong. If some people just want to work a 9-to-5 job and just make $40,000, $50,000 a year and be happy, that's okay too. But like, you know, don't complain then. You know, a lot of people like to complain and find excuses. But if you really want to make something and you know, you can, you definitely can, you got to go out there and do the work. It's just very, very simple. So, you know, I know you're connected to a lot of great people. How have you connected with a lot of great people?
That is a really great question, because if people were picking up on things, so like introverted guy, how could he possibly know a lot of people? And so when
that's why I asked it.
Yeah. So when I was back in 2000, you know, I'm 25 years old and a very introverted person, but I had this email newsletter and I had an email newsletter of like a couple thousand people even back then. And so I could, and then as soon as I got into Men's Health Magazine, I had critical credibility. So, it opened the doors for me. Oh, I'm the guy who writes for Men's Health Magazine. I want to interview you for my email list. I'm just going to shoot you over 6 questions. You reply back. I'm going to get this out to my email list. So I'll give you some exposure. And that just allowed me to connect with a lot of people. I was trying to do presentations too. I wasn't very good at them then. But if there was an opportunity, I would go and speak at an event, whether it was a hockey training event or whether it was a sports and strength and conditioning or sports specific event. And, you know, I got better each time I did them. And so, you know, people would see you up there. And then as soon as you step on stage, you are afforded this critical credibility or this guruship, and people want to seek you out after. And I continue to write and show up. And eventually I made videos on the internet and all this stuff. And then I started going to events. I didn't start going to events until 2006. I wish I would have started going earlier. And I didn't hire a coach until 2006. I wish I would have done that earlier. But when I did, okay, even an introverted guy like me, I went to an event in 2006 and made a ton of friends, many of which I'm still friends with today, some of the best marketers in the world. And then, you know, I met our friend Joe Polish in 2007. He's a friend of yours. He's a friend of mine. He's one of the most connected guys I know. Now, he's very extroverted. He'll go talk to anybody about anything.
Anybody.
And, you know, he's totally different. But I was like, okay, well, how can I help this guy? You know, I can write about him. I can introduce him to somebody else. And so if you want to be methodical about it, you can think, who are all the people that I know? Who are all the people that I want to know? How can I help the people that I know so that someday I may ask them for an introduction to the people I want to know? And, you know, that's one thing you can do. If you live in a small town in Kansas and you were like, well, I really want to get connected to other entrepreneurs or other gym owners and around the world. Well, you know what? I'll just start a little virtual group and we'll, you know, it's for gym owners who have, you know, this type of clientele, and I'm going to run these little meetings and we're going to get on. I'm going to teach what's working in my business and it's free. I just want to grow my network. I'm going to bring in 20 people. If you don't show up, 2 out of 3 months, we're going to have to kick you out of the group or whatever, but you have to add value. And, you know, then you grow a little circle, and then maybe someday you meet in person, and then maybe someday you all go to an event and you meet a whole bunch of other people there. And the next thing you know, you can know a lot of people, even if you're shy and timid and you live in a small town, which I was all three of those at one point in my life.
That's great. That's really great. That's very valuable information, Craig. You know, it's funny because, you know, I don't think people, you know, I think patience is a big problem. I think people lack a lot of patience and they don't understand that things take time. And, you know, my biggest pet peeve is when someone says, well, I tried it twice. It didn't work. Like, are you kidding? Like, are you kidding me? I've done things 100 times. I've gone after one person for 4 years just to make a deal happen. Like, you have to be consistent. Like, that's very important. But what you said, that which was brilliant, which people I hope listen to, is you provided value. Yeah. You weren't thinking about yourself. You were thinking about planting a seed, taking that beautiful little thing from Home Depot, I don't even know what you call it, and you water the seed, and now this beautiful plant starts growing. It starts blossoming. It's getting really nice. And then you say, you know what? I want to now rip off the flower and give it to my girlfriend because now you have a beautiful flower. And that's when, at that point, that's when you come back and say, hey, so-and-so, you know, do you happen to know this person? You've already provided value. You wanted nothing in return. These things take time. But if you listen to what Craig said, that is how you do it. But
in fact, you shouldn't even have to ask that person. They should say, what can I do for you?
Oh, 100%. What can I do for you? 100%.
And then you still, like, if you can have even more patience and say, right now, you know, nothing, man. I thought your book was amazing. I wanted to leave a 5-star review and just wanted to let you know about it. Or, I made an Instagram video about your book. You know, your book is amazing. You don't owe me anything. I still owe you after reading this book. And then, you know, you grow that relationship. So, because maybe if you make that ask, go, oh man, like, you want me to introduce you to Joel Marion or Bedros or somebody like that. That's, you know, these guys are really busy and like, I don't even bother them. So, you know, on a daily basis. So I'm not sure right now. And then you've kind of shot yourself in the foot because you went and overreached yourself. So you got to make, there's a little phrase that a lot of me and my friends use called the goodwill bank account. You go out there, you live your life, you build up your Goodwill bank account.
Yep.
And, you know, someday you might think about cashing some things in, but don't cash things in too quickly.
I love that. I love that. But, you know, it's funny. I talk about this all the time. Everyone's really in the same business. It's called the people business. And everything is about relationships. And if you can't build relationships, you're never going anywhere. As I always say.
And you can't keep them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't keep them. That's just as bad.
100%.
That might be worse, right?
Absolutely. People have to, you know, look, I have my thoughts on school. You know, a lot of people get mad when I talk about this. But the fact is, like, I used to, you know, sit in class and I used to always think to myself, how much money does this professor have in their bank account? Like, they're trying to teach me a class. Like, I wasn't trying to be funny. I asked the professor in my class, can you send me your bank account information? Like, I'd love to see, like, how much your balance is in your bank account. And he said, excuse me? And he said, Josh, leave the class. Everyone's, like, laughing. I was actually being very serious about it. Like, I wanted to know. Because this guy's trying to teach me. I want to know if he's successful. So then on the flip side, the first and most important class you never learn in school is how to build relationships.
Yeah.
They don't teach you that. Like, cause believe it or not, and you might think this is crazy, I was actually extremely introverted and I really still am. Like, when I'm not working, I like to be with my family, my kids, and that's really it. I'm not, you know, I don't party. I don't really go out. The only thing I do is I love working out. I play my hockey and that's really it. But yeah. I don't really have many friends. I like to, you know, as I like to say, you know, eagles fly alone, as my man, Dan Penna likes to say. But you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's very, very important to understand that you have to build those relationships. And, you know, when you get very good at that and you practice and you figure it out and you connect with people, that just opens a lot of doors. And I love that Goodwill account. That's awesome. It's really great.
Good, man. Good. Yeah. So, it's exactly how it should be. It's just, if you're a good person, it'll come to you and yep. You can't rush it. You can't rush a relationship with a girl. You can't rush a relationship with a future potential business partner or something like that.
You can't. Well, listen, I got two more questions for you. So
yeah.
I'm a big believer in visualization. What would you say as far as visualization? Because I really believe, like, I have to put myself in these scenarios. Like, if I want to live in this house, I have to actually go to that house and be in the house and sit in the tub. And I have to, like, put myself there. Like, what are your thoughts on that? Like, how much visualization has come into your success?
Visioning, I think, is more important to me. So visioning is where you sit down and you craft like a vivid vision, you know, yep. As some people call it, for your company or for your life. Yep. And I can tell you, I've had two dramatic incidences in my life where the vivid vision has come true. So the first one was in 2006 when I had the anxiety attacks. It was also when I hired my first business coach. And you might recognize the guy's name, Tom Venuto. Do you remember Tom?
Tom, I've heard of that name before, actually.
Okay, so Tom Venuto was one of the most successful sellers of an ebook program. He had this ebook in 2000 to 2012 that must have sold millions of copies. It was called Burn the Fat, Feed the Muscle. Real great guy, you know, classic hardcore bodybuilder from down in Hoboken, New Jersey. And he took me on as a coaching client. And the very first question on the very first call, Tom says to me, "What do you want your business to look like in 5 years from now?" That was the first question. And at the time, I was an avid reader of this website called Early to Rise. And Early to Rise at that time was one of the few health and not health, but wealth and success newsletters. And it helped people make money with real estate and marketing and all this stuff. And it introduced me to so many of the gurus. And I said, I want to run a business like that. And Tom was also a subscriber. And he said, yeah, I know of Early to Rise, but you're going to have to become a better coach, a better trainer, a better speaker, a better writer, grow your network, all of these things. I'm like, okay. So I went and did those things. And over the years, I met a lot of people. And one of my other friends that I met in 2010, he asked me a similar question, like, you know, what are your goals for these new websites you have? And I said, I still want to run a business like Early to Rise. A few months later, this other friend, this guy's name was Matt, was at an event. And he met the owner of Early to Rise. And the owner of Early to Rise said, I'm looking to sell the website. So my friend Matt sends me a message same day, says, you still want to buy it? And I was like, yeah, I'd love to buy it. So we flew down to Florida and we negotiated a deal and we bought the business 5 years, 3 months, 17 days after that call with Tom. It's like, that's pretty cool. It's kind of like John Ashraf in The Secret. Like, I didn't really love that movie except for that part where John Ashraf is like going through like some old photos and he goes, oh my God, I had this on my vision board and it's the exact house that I live in. That's cool. So I'm more about the vision for your future. Like, I actually do these workshops where I make clients write down a vision of 3 years for the 3 years into the future. And you write the vision as if you've already achieved it. And I call it writing the movie script for your life, because when you write this movie script, it's going to come true. And when you read it out loud to me, I should be able to watch the movie of your life. I'm going to see what your life is going to look like in 3 years from now. And it's amazing. And it's what really blows me away is, you know, people take, you know, take the worksheets and they go home and they kind of put them away. And maybe a year or 2 years later, they're going through their stuff, or they're like, they scheduled a review of it and they pull it out and they go, I forgot I wrote this down, but I accomplished this in 9 months instead of 12 months. I accomplished this in a year and a half instead of 3 years. Like, everything that I put down on this vision page, I accomplished. Check, check, check. And, you know, it's very similar to the reticular activating system, right? Like, when you, when you say, hey, listen, I want to live in a house like this, or I want to drive a white Porsche or whatever, you notice it, you notice the opportunities, and hey, soon enough, you own it.
Yeah, I want to show you something. So we have, I have a couple of them here. I don't have all of them, but we have these in my team. We do these vision board parties.
Yeah.
You know, we bring out Elmer's glue, we put it all together, and everyone shares it. And it's a powerful exercise. So I'm really, really relating to what you're saying. And we have the 3 year vivid vision. I do that every 3 years here.
Oh, great.
In my organization. So that's great. And man, we are just on the same page, man. I love it. So,
yeah. So as far as actual visualization, I do when I train, like, you know, I trained today and I was like, you know, just set a squats, you know, close my eyes and, you know, breathe and go through the reps. So I do that. And when I was a young athlete, I was doing that as well. Those are the ways I use it.
That's great, man. All right, so listen, last question, and this throws a lot of people off, but I love this question. If you were conducting this interview, what question would you have asked?
Would I have asked to get more information out of me?
Yep.
Well, I usually think it's valuable to get the number one book. If you can only read number one book from somebody, or if you were to only give one piece of advice to somebody, like, that's it. It was your TED talk. You only get one TED talk in your entire life. What is the topic of that going to be? And so those are things that once in a while people ask me something like that. So I think that is a very revealing question if you get the person to give a good answer.
Well, let's hear it. What's the book and what's the piece of advice?
Okay. So for the book, I'm going to go with The Art of Living by Sharon LaBelle. It's a small little book, and it is a translation of Epictetus, a Stoic philosopher. And that was one of the things that, you know, first of all, it really inspired me in writing the Perfect Day Formula because of this phrase: control what you can, cope with what you can't control, and concentrate on what counts. And I think this is it's more pertinent than ever. You know, like, right now you can't control the government restrictions. You know, we were going to do this interview the other week, and like, you were like, 5 minutes before they allowed us to open our gyms. Like, do you mind if we reschedule? I'm like, no, I don't care, man. I mean, I'm a gym owner too. You got to go and do what you got to do. But you didn't control that. You didn't control that. And so many people get so hung up. They're like, oh man, they sit around, they stew, and they're like, oh, you know, I can't do anything. Well, you still can do stuff. You just don't control outside. The externals is what the Stoics called it. So that little book, The Art of Living by Sharon LaBelle, is highly recommended. Now, I'm going to cheat and give two. And I think that if I was king of the world, I would make every high school student read Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. It would really kind of knock some sense into a lot of people around the world, just in terms of like, hey, you're not really going through hardship, and also you're capable of so much more, is two of the big messages from that book. So that's that. And then if I could only give one message to the world, it is actually really ridiculously simple, but it is: whatever time you're getting up right now, if things are not going well for you, if you're not crushing your day, whatever time you're getting up right now, and I don't care if you get up at 9 a.m, or you get up at 6 a.m, or 4 a.m, if you get up 15 minutes earlier, and again, this is for people who feel like they're not getting anything done. If you get up 15 minutes earlier than you are right now, not 5 a.m. club if you're getting up at 9 a.m., just 15 minutes earlier. And you get up 15 minutes earlier before anybody else in your house gets up, and you go down to your kitchen table with a pen and paper, no electronics, and you sit there and you work on either your number one problem in life, like maybe you got $10,000 worth of credit card debt. If you sit there 15 minutes a day, 6 days a week, 52 weeks in a year, that's 72 hours of focused thinking on your number one problem or your number one opportunity. Like, I got to write a sales letter, 15 minutes a day. You will accomplish great things. And I know this because when I was a broke, struggling, introverted, socially anxious, binge drinking personal trainer in 2004 and five, and I wanted to have an online business, I woke up at 4:30 in the morning earlier than I needed to. And I worked in my online business for 15 minutes a day. And in 18 months, I was free from being the personal trainer. And I had the online business doing over six figures, 15 minutes a day.
Love it, man. That's actually a very good piece of advice, man. I love it. Well, listen, Craig, you've blessed us with such great information. Where can people find you?
Well, I would go to Instagram, Real Craig Ballantyne, or simply email me at craig@godfather.com. Yes, that is my real email address, craig@godfather.com, or visit me at craigballantyne.com and ask me a question.
I love it. Guys, reach out to Craig. He's provided so much value. We thank him so much. Until next time, fuel your drive.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast, Fuel Your Drive. Please be sure to subscribe and leave a review. I'd really appreciate it. And also, make sure you follow Gym Guys on Instagram. And of course, myself, Josh York GG. We're going to change the world. And we want to help you along the journey.